Text for this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, verse 24. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 to 24. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them.
It's always good to be back here with you. And today is a special Sunday, Chinese New Year Sunday. I begin with a question addressed to you all, especially to the younger people. Supposing I drop in here in 5 years' time, will you still be faithfully serving the Lord? The young people, of course, would have grown up. And the question is, will they continue to follow the Lord, to serve Him faithfully? This is a question addressed to all of you. Think. Recently, I received a book. The book's name is called Already Gone. What a title to a book. And as I read through the story, struck me so forcefully, I thought I should share with you here this morning. A Christian leader called Ken Ham, some of you would have heard his name in America. He came from Australia. I know him personally. And he wrote this book greatly concerned, because as he surveyed the scene, so many churches, by the time the young people have reached college and university level, drop out. Don't come to church anymore. And this is not one or two, but from his survey, it is about two out of three, 65%, just don't come. They disappear. Why is it? Are you concerned? My dear friends, you ask yourself. Parents, ask yourself, what is happening? Young people, ask yourself, because according to this survey, in 5 years' time, we're not going to see you here, and you're not attending any church. because it seems that your experience of attending church has been a frustration, is empty, is meaningless, is waste of time. Why should I spend every Sunday 2 hours in church? This survey goes to tell us, in the last 40 years, in the country of Great Britain, 1,500 churches have been sold away. Indeed, I have experienced that in 1993, we helping New Life Church to establish a gospel center in England, in London, we bought one of these churches. So few members, they cannot sustain the church, sold away. At least it became another church. Now, you wonder, what happened to the 1,500 churches? It's not a small figure. And this is in Christian England, Ireland and Scotland. All these churches were sold away to become what? Shops, storehouses, restaurants, discos, dance halls. And it may shock you even more. Mosques, temples, places of other worship and entertainment. Amazing. What is your response as you sit here quietly? I'm telling you, not fairy tales, please. I'm telling you a survey of facts and figures. What happened in England? Do you understand? That country, we sent out thousands of missionaries in the old days, whose people endured fire and brimstone and torture and sword just because of their faith. No longer. Today is different country altogether. If you go to England, London, you may see buses going through London with big placards saying, "There may be no God." And underneath it says, "Why worry? Enjoy yourself." That is happening in England. What happened? Are you concerned? You say, "Well, it is so far away, it's England." I say, dear friends, what happens elsewhere is an object lesson and a warning to us. It is coming to Singapore. If we do not watch out and take remedial action. What happened in England? Do you remember the name of Charles Darwin? A fellow with hardly any scientific knowledge. Anyhow, he made a trip around the world over 5 years. And he came back and wrote a book of his observations and studies, so-called. Do you know the name of the book? Origin of Species, on the Origin of Species. How come there are these living things on earth? Men and animals, where did they come from? And he wrote this book. When I was in medical school, it was still hot stuff, and I had to study it. And his conclusion is that life came by evolution. There is no God. And the bottom line or conclusion is, cheer up, cheer up. We are still here. Enjoy yourself. Since there is no God, why worry? Live as you like. There is no heaven, no hell. Only evolution. Only man. Man in charge. Homo sapiens. Knows everything. Life came by evolution. From no life. Dear friends, what do you think of it? Today, you open the pages of Straits Times, you read it there. You go to any kind of institution, it is assumed to be so. Your child going to kindergarten is given things that come out from the same source. No God. Oh, when we discovered this, whatever discovery of a stone or relic or antique, oh, it is so many millions and billions of years old. Yesterday's or day before yesterday, Straits Times carried an article. I don't know how many of you read it. I was so interested. They're building a super telescope that will look into the universe further than any other telescope up to now. And it will bring into focus heavenly bodies which are millions and billions of years, light years away. Do you know how to measure distance when it comes to light years? From here to your house, maybe 2 kilometers or 2 miles. When they talk of those years, it is in terms of light years. What is the circumference of the earth? 25,000 miles. Now, what is a light year? It is the distance traveled by light for 1 year. And how far does light travel? 1 second? 186,000 miles per second. Like that, tick-tock. Light has gone 186,000 miles away. And this telescope is going to look into the universe as far as millions and billions of light years away. Amazing. And then they're going to probe to find where life came from. In other words, no God. Forget it, friends. Cheer up. Enjoy yourself. Who is talking of heaven and the hell? All those things you don't see, you don't know, forget it. There's no God. Telescope is going to tell us. Read Straits Times 2 days ago. Amazing. Now, what did Darwin do? Darwin's theory of evolution caught the British, the English, as a great discovery, and they were all so happy. They embraced Darwin. They honored him. How did they honor him? Do you know there's a place called Westminster Abbey, the most prestigious big church building, in which kings and queens are buried, plus Charles Darwin, promoted to the level of kings and queens, simply because he told us the biggest lie, and the people believed it. No God. Man is supreme. Out of that came humanism. What is humanism? No God. Only man. You and I only. And you and I are the ones who matter. Please understand, dear friends. This is the theory that took England and the whole world by storm. Man says, wonderful, cheer up. We live, we make our presence felt on earth, we create the world and all these things. We discover things. No God. How good it is, they thought. Oh, no judgment, no accountability. Just live as you like. So, out of Darwinism came evolutionism. Humanism. What is humanism? Man is supreme. Materialism. Only matter matters. Nothing else matters. Only matter. So this is the problem. Very sad. 1,500 churches gone to the dogs, and people today are not going to church anymore. How about America? Ken Ham is working in America in an institution which is called Answers in Genesis. Some of you have read about this organization. To educate and to inform people that life came from God and not by evolution, because first of all, please understand, it has never been proved, ever, that life can come from non-life. Please understand. In the old days, before they had microscope, they said, well, it must be from non-life. But by the time you have the microscope, you take a drop of water from any pool of stagnant water, just one drop, look under the microscope, you see it's teeming with multitudes of living organisms. Where did they come from? Man has not yet invented one life form of any kind. Try as they may, they say, now we've found the basic protein of life is called DNA. Yes, now they are all so happy we found DNA, the secret of life. But can they create life out of DNA? So we are at a dead stop. How about America? A lot of us here have gone to America. It is called the Christian country. Why is it called Christian country? Because the founders of America ran away from Europe because of religious persecution, and they're looking for a place where they could worship God, and they found this place, America, and they moved to America and began the colonies from England, and that became the basis of United States of America. Today it has grown to be the number one leading country in the world. Do you know that? Yes. Every country which wants to progress in any field, learn from America. So we have our young men all flocking to America to learn about science and technology, about progress, about every discipline of study. You want to get the best, America, number one country. In entertainment, Hollywood. Everybody goes there and you get the atmosphere. The whole world lives drinking Coca-Cola. Where does it come from? You wear Levi jeans, don't you? All this from America. Everything is from America. Number one. Who is the number one noise in the world who dictates to all the rest of the countries and nations? America. Yeah, the voice of Obama. He says he's black. Yeah, he's a black man in the White House. And what he says, everybody takes note. Why? Because it is America, as a Christian country. But recently I read another articles by a man called Pat Buchanan. Six times writer of the year in New York Times. Six times. He is a great journalist. And his latest book is entitled Superpower Commits Suicide. What is a superpower? Who is a superpower? America. And he says, my country, mind you, he's American. And those of you who read the news will understand who he is. A very prominent and well-known figure. He says, America is committing suicide because it has departed from the faith which gave birth to it. The Christian country, now, by the way, please understand, Pat Buchanan is not a Christian. He's a Roman Catholic. But he laments, he is very grieved by the fact that my country has departed from the faith that founded it. That diagnosis is spot on. He is absolutely correct. Because America has departed from the faith that founded it, it is committing suicide. And he gives a date, and that date is worth your making note of it. 2025. Will America survive until 2025? Now the elections are on the way. End of this year, they will elect another president. Obama says, the country needs somebody like me. You better have me. So, if he gets another 4 years, 2013 plus 4, 2017, another two elections and we are already 2025. And he says, can America survive till 2025? Does it ring a bell to you? How near are we? America will not survive when Jesus comes. And so he says, which country will take over from America? The country, the kingdom of God is coming on earth. That is the country to which you and I belong, dear friends. Now do you get the message? I'm not saying that Pat Buchanan has diagnosed, found the date for the Lord's return. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying we are living in critical last days. It's quite near. Another sign I can give to you why we believe, not just because Pat Buchanan says so, but this is Hillary Clinton last month in Geneva made this statement. He says, all you nations take note, homosexuals are still human beings and you better respect them and give them equal rights, human rights. Now does that ring a bell? When the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, please tell us the sign of your coming. What did Jesus say? I want you to turn that to that passage of scripture. It's so good. It's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 26. Luke's Gospel 17:26. What does it say here? These are the words of Jesus. You ask me, tell us when are you coming again? And Jesus says this, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate and drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built, and they had sex anyhow they like. Then the day of the Lord came. Verse 29. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom. Where is Sodom? Can you tell me? Some of you were in the Holy Land recently. Where is Sodom? It's buried under the shores of the Dead Sea, understand? And the Dead Sea area is the lowest point on planet Earth. And Sodom is buried underneath there. How do we know? Archaeologists, there is people who dig for old structures and cities and towns and things. They dug there and they found the city there. They found buildings submerged there, rooms for sex, and appliances for sex that put the modern appliances to shame. They were so advanced when 4,000 years ago, more or less, or more. That is Sodom. Now Jesus says, you want to know when I'll come? When the world has become so rotten, so wicked, is coming to Singapore, dear friends. 3 years ago, there was an organization which was called AWARE, and we had to write a little pamphlet to say, beware of AWARE, because AWARE was going around to the schools to teach young people, children, as long as sex is all right, you don't get infected, there's no harm and no as long as you enjoy it, it's all right. This is a way. Now Jesus says, when you see this happen, you know I am coming. How long is it? How far is it now? When the law is going to be changed, this is a prediction. Not that I know, but because the Bible says so, Jesus will come and the world will turn gay before then. That is the sign Jesus will return. So I say, look out. When the legislators in the government change the law, that is coming. Because the Bible says so. The Bible says Jesus will not come until the world is gay. Now, whole of America is gay. Men and men, women and women can get married. And the child gets, hey, I got two mummies. I got two daddies. They're wondering what's happening. That is a sign the Lord Jesus will come when the world turns gay. Singapore has not yet. Malaysia and all the Muslim countries are dead against homosexuality. But things will change. Watch out. Now there is a survey for America. What did Ken Ham find? He said 65% of your young people sitting here in 5 years' time will no longer be sitting in the church pews anymore. Does that shock you? You young people, you ask yourself, what will I do? Let me tell you what you do. You grow up, you go to university, everybody says it's all right to live as you wish. Everybody says there's no God, only evolution. Why come to church? What for? These stupid people, old-fashioned, still worshipping a God they never see, talking of a pie in the sky called heaven that they can never attain. Enjoy yourself is later than you think. Why go to church? Why come to true life? Aiyah, what a stupid man you are. So pews become empty. Churches cannot sustain because there are no members. Sell away to become what? Disco. This is the picture of things coming. I pray that it will not happen to this church. I pray that this church will stand fast and hold on. Now we come to Singapore. I've said quite a lot about Singapore already. Singapore is a mini America. Do you know that? Whatever America does, Singapore imitates and does it better. And so Singapore has gone 60 times richer than when the PAP came in. I'm not saying PAP is so good. I'm just saying a happening. Do you know that? Since the government took over 40, 50 years ago, Singapore has grown 50 to 60 times richer. More money. Nowadays, it says, the concentration of millionaires in this city is number one in the world. Did you know that? Almost everyone is a millionaire now. There must be quite a lot of millionaires here. But that is a fact. Not that you have all the money. Anyhow, I say, Singapore is advancing in every field. Everything that America does, we do better, as it were. So we clearly see the writing is on the wall, dear friends. What must we do? I give you the clue. God's word has it. Before the Israelites entered the promised land, God saw ahead and told them, look, the promised land is full of unchristian people, godless people. And you're going in there, you're going to mix with them. And very soon you all will forget your foundation. You forget God. It's bound to be, unless you take steps. Now God gave specific instructions to the Jews. Where were they coming from? Answer, Egypt. What were they doing in Egypt? They went to Egypt as 70 souls, and they are leaving Egypt as 2 million after 430 years. Do you remember? Now that is the background of the story. Now God told Moses, Moses, my people are coming back to the promised land. Make sure that they will remember the God of their salvation. How God took them through the Red Sea as on dry land. Fed them with manna from heaven 40 years. Gave them water out of a rock. Sustained them so that their shoes did not wear out and their clothes on the back continued to be worn without being torn or worn 40 years. Any of you have a shirt and clothes that last 40 years? Except God gave them this miracle clothing, sustained them for 40 years. Now God said to Moses, Moses, my people are coming into the promised land. They must take steps. And I say, dear friends, you must take steps. If you want to survive in the years to come, if you value your faith, if you believe God is God, if you believe that He made you and not evolution and not you came from monkeys, but we are created in God's image. Do you believe this? But you don't see. How do you know? Dear friends, we know because God gave us this book. God gave us one book, the complete history of mankind, not just past, but history, future, prophecy. All the things you need to know about your future are written here, but we have to go into history to prepare for the future. So for this, please turn and then we will conclude. Our time is up. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are the commandments that God gave to the Israelites. 2 million going back to the promised land. There is great danger if you do not know how to serve the Lord, how to be strong in your faith. How can you survive? Very soon you become atheist and become humanist, become materialist and evolutionist. Now, I read it, you please follow. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now these are the commandments, statutes, judgments. All these mean the same thing. The law of God, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that he might do them, and you might prosper and survive in the land that the Lord the God is going to give to you, that you may possess it. It's going to be yours, your land. But you must prepare yourself so that you don't go into the land and then very soon become idol worshippers, heathens, because you are going to mix with the people there. You must prepare for it. Verse 2. That thou mightest continue to fear the Lord your God. If you are by yourself, the chances of being infected by idolatry is not so great. But once you go into the promised land and mix with the idolaters, the chances are you will intermarry. And then you are going to learn from them their idolatry. Verse 2. That you might fear the Lord to keep all his statutes and commandments which I commanded thee, thou, thy son, thy son's son. And here is the catch. Don't say, I'm all right, I'm all right. How are your children? Will they continue to love the Lord or not? And their children's children, because children become adults, get married, and they produce children. How about them? We have a wonderful God who is concerned for you, for your children, for your children's children, that is your grandchildren. Read on, verse 2, the last sentence, last part. And thy son's son, all the days of thy life, not some of the days of your life, but all the days, that they'll continue, that thy days may be prolonged. Verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, I say, hear therefore, O you people in True Life BP Church, observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, because this is God's word, and God saved you, and God's concern for you. Do you believe in God? I am sure that among us here, some of you, one day soon, will forget God. This is because it is going to be so. Yes, one day you say, oh yeah, where is God? I can't see him. He doesn't speak to me. Because I don't believe the Bible. Therefore, how can he speak to me? Verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, I say, hear, O you members of True Life, The Lord our God is one God, not many, not idols, not images. All those things are evil. Only God, and God is invisible to your eyes. Verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. How do you love him? You say, I come to church. I say, that is not enough. If that is all you do, you are in very dangerous, precarious, and a doubtful position. Do you know that? Don't say, I come to church, I must be okay. Yeah, I say, if you say, I come to church only, you are in a very precarious situation. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them. Ah, here comes the crunch. How many of you teach the word of God to your children? How many of you do? You ask yourself, honestly. When your child grows up, you think of tutors, 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 to teach them mathematics, 讲华语, and everything. You must have tutors, tutors, tutors. Do you ever think of them that they need tutors to tutor them in the word of God? How about yourself? This is what it says here. Verse 7. Thou shalt teach you, you a believer. If you cannot teach, who will teach? If you cannot and they will not teach your child the words of God, your child says, my father, I don't think he's a Christian. He doesn't talk to me about Jesus Christ. So your child already lost faith in you. Then what do you do? Yes, the rot coming in. Verse 7 says, you teach them diligently, not just half-heartedly, once in a way mentioned, but diligently means have a program every day, tell them. I had a relative, wanted to be a world-class pianist, and she failed. Says, now I have a daughter. This one will become a world-class pianist. I say, when did you start teaching her? When she was in my tummy. I already started to teach her. As soon as she came out, she began to play on the keyboard. So keen, so concerned that my child must be a world-class pianist. How about world-class believer? How about a heavenly believer? Are you not concerned? Can you not tell the child something? Pray with child and teach the child the things of God. Verse 7, it says, talk of them when you sit down in your house. When you walk by the way, tell your child about God. When you talk with him on the way, going for a stroll in the park, nothing wrong with that, but go and tell them about the Lord God. When you lie down, when you get up, anytime, every time, talk of God to your child. Verse 8, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and you shall write them on the post of your house. Please don't write it on the post of your house here. You may get fined in the HDB flats, But write them in the hearts of your children. Amen. So this is the message for this morning. We are called to be disciples. What does a disciple do? Follow the Lord. Obey him. And the disciples did exactly that. And they founded the church. They spoke the gospel. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 believed. How about you? Have you led even one person to Christ? If you can lead nobody outside, lead your own child to Christ. Our Father and our God, May thou speak to everyone present here who names the name of Christ, who claims to be a Christian. May thou speak to our hearts and cause us to give back our lives to thee, to burn out for thee in the days remaining, that the love of Jesus may flow through us to our families, to our loved ones, to our children. O Lord, may thou use us for thy witness and help us to burn out for thee until we see thee face to face. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.